As we come to the passage tonight here before us, we find the Lord Jesus on his last walk to Jerusalem. He's heading towards Calvary's mountain to offer himself as a substitute and sacrifice on the cruel cross on behalf of his people. He's walking to his death. You see, that is why he came. He was born to die. He came to die on behalf of his people, to redeem a people for himself. And he was on an appointment from heaven to do the will of God. And nothing had stopped him up to this point. Nothing would stop him. Nothing could cause him to wait. Nothing would cause him to divert or sidetrack from his work. Not Satan, not unbelief, not Herod, not the Sadducees, the Pharisees, not the disciples, not even his mother. Remember what he said to her in John's Gospel and the chapter 2, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And then in Luke chapter 3, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He had a job to do. He came to do a job of redeeming a people for himself. And nothing would stop the Saviour from fulfilling this mission. Nothing and no one would stop him. Yet a lonely, poverty-stricken, hopeless, weak, helpless, blind beggar heard that Jesus was passing by and began to cry out for mercy and looking for help and calling out in faith. And he stopped, the Son of God. Nothing else stopped the Saviour. But this man stopped the Saviour in his tracks. He stood still. The Saviour stood still to hear the cry of this penitent sinner broken over his condition. And what mercy, what grace, what compassion, what love we see here from the Master. The Lord Jesus, in great compassion, will not neglect the cry of the sinner. And if you're in this meeting tonight and you're still in your sin, if you cry out to him, he will hear you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will hear the sinner's cry. We read in John 6:37, "All the Father giveth me will come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out." He will not cast you out, dear sinner. One writer, speaking of blind Bartimaeus, he says, "Faith is frequently found where it is least expected. There were great multitudes that followed the Lord Jesus as he walked along and taught the people. Some of them are curious for loaves and some for a look. Some out of curiosity and some out of conviction. Some for greed and some for grace. Many followed him, but there were very few who believed on Christ. Many, many saw his miracles, yet believed him not. But here is a blind man, a man who never saw any of the Lord's miracles. He knew the Master only by hearsay, by the testimony of others, yet he believed him." So let's consider this man tonight, Bartimaeus. A blind beggar. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. Notice firstly his condition. His condition. He was a blind beggar whose name was Bartimaeus. He apparently lived near Jericho. In verse 46 it also says he was the son of Timaeus, which in the Greek means the son of pollution. His condition is that he was blind. He was a beggar. And he's the son of pollution. And what a description that is tonight. Of those that are outside of Christ. You see, this man had been blind since he was born. Blind from birth. Blindness was a common condition in biblical times because of various diseases and sanitary conditions. There are many blind people. But in his blind condition, this man, Bartimaeus, is a good type of everyone born into this world. All of us in that spiritual sense are born blind. Into the world, spiritually speaking, we are blind. We're not able to see the things of God. We cannot see the importance of the kingdom of God. We cannot see our sins as God sees them. That is why we make excuses about our sin. But Isaiah 44:18 says, "They have not known nor understood. For he have shut their eyes, they cannot see, and their hearts, they cannot understand." Blind to the things of God. Christ said in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Again, we see the blindness. 1 Corinthians 2:14 reminds us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Thus blind Bartimaeus is a type of every person outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I read in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:6, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And here we see the blindness. For God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Sinful man, unregenerate man, is blind to the things of God. He does not understand the things of God. He doesn't understand the word of God. He doesn't understand his own sinfulness. He doesn't understand his lost estate. He doesn't understand that God is holy and righteous and just, and in that lost estate he cannot stand before a holy God in heaven. Again, Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What a description of the sinner. And just as blind Bartimaeus groped in physical darkness, those outside of Christ tonight grope in spiritual darkness. Read in Isaiah 59:9, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. And so the sinner tonight, as it were, is groping in the darkness. And groping after the things of this world to fulfill the peace they're lacking in their souls. And they're groping like a blind man. They cannot find peace, because they don't know where to look for it. Here was blind Bartimaeus. He was blind from birth. He was in this awful condition. And so too, sinner tonight, you're in that awful condition of blindness to the things of God. But he's also a beggar. His physical condition prevented him from finding and performing a job to earn a living. This man had no way of feeding himself. He sat there and he begged day by day. You see, there were no welfare programs, no charitable institutions in those days to feed, to help, to give out food. There's no social security, no benefits or government programs to aid these people. He was impoverished. And he survived by begging from those on the walk past him on the side of the street. And you can imagine this blind man lying there begging for a piece of bread just to be fed. He sat by the highway begging, we're told in verse 46. And what a picture again of the sinner. Spiritually famished. Spiritually hungry. Looking for the things of the world to fill that void of in their heart. Hungering and thirsting after the things of this world to give them peace, to give them satisfaction, yet never satisfied. Never satisfied. Begging and begging and begging and begging. Begging the things of this world. Taking the devil's handouts, as it were. And living in the light of that in eternity. He was blind. He was a beggar. Oh, that God would remove the blindness from your eyes, that you could see your heart as God sees your heart, that you would see the spiritual state, the poverty that you're in tonight. You're nothing but a beggar. Another thing we notice about Bartimaeus, he was a son of pollution. The name Timaeus, it means pollution. And again, what a picture of the sinner. All of us are sons of Adam. All of us are sons of pollution. We have inherited his sinful and depraved nature. We're born into this world as sinners. We're born into this world polluted. We're depraved. Our hearts are wretched. Our hearts are black with sin. And that is the state of the sinner tonight. Blind, a beggar, and polluted. And that's how God sees you tonight. Oh, you might not see yourself that way. You might think you're a good person. You might think you're upright. And you might think you're self-righteous. And you might think you've earned heaven. But sadly, that's not the way God sees it. God sees you for what you are. See, God sees everything. God sees the very intents of our heart. He knows the very thoughts of our mind. And we can have that outward appearance of being good and upright and immoral and all those things. But God sees the heart. And God searches the heart of man. And he sees you as a blind beggar. who's polluted with sin tonight. Oh, that you would see yourself as God sees you. And see yourself as that you're, as it were, a sinner and a beggar who's begging for bread. May you beg God for mercy tonight. May you see the hopelessness of your state. You see, blind Bartimaeus was in this condition. He could do nothing about it. He was blind from birth. If he could have healed us or got out of his blindness, it would have happened by now. But he couldn't. He was without hope. He was without any help. He was a beggar. Oh, may you beg God for mercy tonight. Notice secondly, his concern. His concern. See, no one had to persuade Bartimaeus that he was blind. No one had to come up and tap him on the shoulder and say, Bartimaeus, do you know you're blind? Of course not. He knew he was blind. No one had to convince him. Nobody had to plead with him to tell him he was blind. He knew his condition. He knew he was blind. He knew he was begging on the side of the road to survive. He knew his condition. And he heard the commotion. He heard the crowd passing by him as he lay there begging. And he probably thought, you know, if all these people come by, I'd probably make some money today. I might even get enough food to actually fill me today. All these people passing by, and he probably shouted out, and he's seen the multitude come by, he's probably excited, he might get fed. But not only did he hear the crowd coming, but he heard that Jesus was also nearby. He is put in a situation. Do I ask for money, or do I ask for Christ? Do I beg for money, or do I beg for Christ? He heard others speak about the one who had caused the blind to see and the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dead to live again. He'd heard of this man. Perhaps he wondered if what he did for them he could do for him. And he saw his condition. He realized, I'm a beggar. I'm blind. I'm lost here in this estate and I can do nothing about it. And he took interest in his condition. He became very concerned about his condition. And he believed that Jesus could heal his affliction. But he was helpless to get to Christ. This poor old beggar's life and soul appeared to be on the path to eternal damnation. But in the glorious providence of God, Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by. He could not come to Christ, but Christ came to him. It's not wonderful. Christ came to him. He was desperate. He was hopeless. He was helpless. He was concerned about his situation. Oh, that you'd be concerned tonight, dear sinner. Oh, that you'd be concerned about your soul tonight. Oh, that you'd realize your condition. And that you'd have concern. That you'd think upon these things. That you'd not put them to the back of your mind. But rather you'd think upon it. You'd search your heart. You come to realize that you are a sinner. You see his concern. Notice also his cry. His cry, verse 46 and 47. Read there, blind Bartimaeus, he sat by the highway side begging, 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Because Bartimaeus was desperate, he cried out. He cried out. And may God make you desperate tonight that you'll cry out for mercy. From where you sit, you cry out to Christ tonight, have mercy upon me. I'm a blind beggar. Have mercy upon me. He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. In his desperate condition, it made him call out the more earnestly, in despair. Perhaps he thought, you know, if he passes by, he might never pass this way again. This is my only opportunity. I have one chance here. This is my only hope. And dear sinner, friend, tonight, reading God's word, those solemn words in Genesis 3 verse 6, my spirit shall not always strive of man. And this may be your last opportunity tonight. Again, we don't know what a day may bring forth. But Jesus is passing by tonight. The gospel message has been brought to your attention. You're being urged to trust Christ, to turn from your sin. He's passing by. What will you do? Will you cry out like Bartimaeus? Will you cry out earnestly? Hear me, Lord, cried out, called upon Christ. And he called upon Christ by his messianic name here. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He used the expression son of David instead of Lord or Jesus because he apparently believed the Old Testament prophecies that this was the promised Messiah. The one who had come into the world one day, who had reigned from his throne, and whose kingdom there would be no end. And Bartimaeus saw this occasion could easily pass him by. He realized that this was his maybe one and only chance. And if he sat there that day and says nothing, then the next day, it would have been like every other day. He'd remained in his blindness. He'd remained a beggar, lying by the side of the road, begging until the day he died. He realized this was it. This was his chance. He realized if he didn't cry out now, he was doomed to a life of misery, a life of destruction. But he did not sit by. He cried out to Jesus. You know, some of you, maybe Sunday by Sunday, you sit here in your blindness and you don't take any heed to the message of the gospel. You're like those spectators at the cross. Remember those who sat at the foot of the cross? Remember as they sat there and gazed upon the Saviour dying on their behalf, on behalf of the sins of mankind? And they just sat there. They just sat there and watched him. They didn't do anything about it. And maybe tonight you're just sitting here. You're listening to the message, and rather than cry out for mercy, cry out to the Saviour who's passing by, you're just sitting there, unconcerned. Unconcerned that you're blind. Unconcerned that you're a beggar. Unconcerned that you're heading for a lost sinner's hell. Here's blind Bartimaeus. He cried out. He cried out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And if you're to be saved tonight, if you're to have any hope at all for eternity, you need to cry out. You must avail yourself of every means that have been given to you by God. We know that God is sovereign. We know that God, salvation is of the Lord. We know that every chosen one will be saved. We know that we are aware of those truths, but there's also a truth that man is a responsible creature. Yes, we know Jonah 2 and 9, salvation is of the Lord. But the previous verse, Jonah 2 and 8, read there, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." And if Bartimaeus had believed the crowd that day, and when they said to keep quiet, not to bother the master, he would have forsaken his own mercy. You see, man is responsible to believe. Man is responsible to repent of his sins. Man is responsible to cry out for mercy. Man is responsible to use the means that God has set forth. We must be like that publican in Luke 18 who cried out to God for mercy. Not only do we see the cry of blind Bartimaeus here, but we see the persistency of that cry. Verse 48, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, if Bartimaeus had listened to the crowd that day, he would have forsaken his own mercy. And maybe some in this meeting, you're listening to the voice of the devil. You're listening to the excuses he's putting in your mind, saying, "Oh, you have plenty of time. You have plenty of time. I'm young, and I'll repent later on. I'll not do it now. I'll do it later." You're thinking of the voice of what my friends say, what my family say, what about my workplace, and all these excuses are, they flood the mind. The devil seeks to flood the mind and stop you from crying out to God for mercy. Oh, you need to cry out to him. You see, Jesus is passing you by tonight. You see, every time the gospel is preached, there is that sense that Jesus is passing by. He reveals himself to us in the gospel. And Paul tells us that in Thessalonians, as the Thessalonians heard the preaching as the word of God and accepted it not as the word of men, but of God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13. "When you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." That was true also of the Ephesians, "in whom ye have also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." And every time you hear the gospel preached, Jesus is passing by. He's passing by. And do you feel the urgency that blind Bartimaeus felt here? Do you feel the urgency to cry out? Is he passing by? your heart tonight? What voice are you listening to? Listen to the voice of the Saviour who calls all men to repent and trust in him? Or are you listening to the voice of the devil, the one who is telling you to forsake the mercies of God and let the Saviour pass by and call on him another day? Oh, dear friend, if blind Bartimaeus had done what some of you are doing this evening, he would have sat by the road begging until the day he perished and went to a lost sinner's hell. But he was determined. He was determined. Nothing was going to stop him. The louder the crowd got, the louder he cried out, "Son of God, have mercy upon me." Is God calling you this evening? Is he calling you? Well, come to him. You've no guarantee of tomorrow. You've no guarantee you'll ever hear the gospel preached again. You've no guarantee that you'll be here next week. None of us have. There's a fearful warning in Isaiah 55 and verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, but now. There's urgency in this. There's urgency. And blind Bartimaeus, he took advantage of, for a lack of a better word, he took advantage of the opportunity that was set before him. Do not neglect means. Bartimaeus was determined to be saved. Those who stood by and those who were travelling with the Lord, they tried to make Bartimaeus stop crying out. However, his resilient cry was so loud and so great, the Lord heard him. He cried louder and louder and louder. He was not hindered by the crowd. He was not bothered by what others said to him. They probably said, "You're too poor. You're too loud. You're too zealous. You're too blind. You're too dirty. You're too smelly. Don't bother the master. He doesn't want anything to do with you. You're too far gone. You're too late." But no, praise God, no one is beyond the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's blood can save and make the vilest sinner clean tonight. You're never too far gone. You're only too far gone when you've breathed your last breath and you're in God's eternity. Then it's too late, my friend. Then it's too late. Here, blind Bartimaeus, he was determined. He was determined to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of what anyone else thought. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." His persistency paid off. Notice next his comfort. His comfort. Verse 49. "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." What an exciting part of the story this is. Lord Jesus stood still. And here we see the great love of Jesus Christ for those whom he saves. We think of a scripture, how we read, he must go through Jericho for a lost sheep is to be found here. We think of the wonderful words of scripture, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." We think of, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." He's a loving God. He delights in saving sinners who cry out to him for mercy. And here Bartimaeus repeated his cry. He received a response. And when the Lord heard the cry of this blind, polluted beggar, he stopped. He stopped. Oh, the religious folk of the day, they would have walked by. They wouldn't have given him a second look. They would have turned up their nose at him. They would have walked on. The religious, the self-righteous. But here Christ, what compassion. He stopped. He stopped in his tracks and he effectually called for Bartimaeus to come to him. Remember, he's on the road to Calvary here. We read there, notice verse 32. Turn back to verse 32 of Mark chapter 10. "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." His mind is set upon Calvary. His heart is set upon Calvary. He's determined to go to Calvary. His love is set upon Mount Calvary. His all in all is set upon Calvary. And he must fulfill the purpose of God. He must finish the work the Father has given him to do. Remember, as a little boy, he had that mindset, "I must be about my Father's business." And as he went about doing his Father's business, he heard the voice of a lost sheep calling out, and he stopped, and he stood still. Words cannot describe what Christ did here in Mark 10 and 49. You think of the winds could not stop him. The waves could not stop him. The storm could not stop him. The angry mob could not stop him. Those who sought to kill him could not stop him. The doctors, the lawyers, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees could not stop him. The crowds could not stop him. But a lonely, poor, impoverished, blind beggar stopped the Son of God in his tracks. What a glorious expression of love and compassion for the lost we see here from our Saviour. Christ is walking in a vast crowd, crowded, thronged round him, a vast crowd, and yet he heard this voice crying out from the midst of the crowd. This poor lost sheep crying out, "Have mercy upon me, have mercy upon me." Can you imagine that large group of people walking along, and then the person with all the attention stops? Christ stops, and you can imagine the ripple effect, the whole crowd just stop on the tracks with him. He stops in his tracks just to turn to this poor beggar. I'm sure the crowd thought, "Why is he stopping for this man? Why is he stopping for a beggar? Why is he not looking for better people to come and visit?" But Christ had compassion upon the lost. Spurgeon, writing on this portion of Scripture, he said, "I've heard of Joshua who said, 'Sun stand still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Jalon.' But I rank the blind beggar above Joshua, for he causes the Son of Righteousness to stand still. Christ stood still for the blind man, waiting compassionately to do his bidding. I have seen servants wait upon their masters, but here is the Lord of all, waiting upon one lower than a servant, waiting upon a blind man whose trade was begging." What love. What mercy. And praise God tonight, he's still stopping for lost, blind beggars. He's still stopping. And he's willing to stop in this meeting if you cry out to him for mercy. And this action of Christ, without question, manifests his greater compassion for the afflicted and for the lost. What amazing grace we see here from the pen of Mark. Here we have the omnipotent God stopped in his tracks, held fast by the cry of a needy soul seeking mercy. Christ stood still, commanded him to be called. And then the side said to blind Bartimaeus, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Notice finally his conversion. His conversion. After being in such a terrible state all his life, remember he was blind from birth. All his life he is going to be comforted by the God of creation. Mark 10 verse 50. "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." The Lord stood still. The Lord commanded Bartimaeus to be called. And it was that effectual call that Bartimaeus came to him. Notice what blind Bartimaeus did when Jesus called him. He cast away his garment. He cast away the old beggar's garment. That old filthy tattered rag. He cast it away. He rose and he came to Jesus. And what a wonderful picture of the sinner casting off that old filthy garment of sin, coming to Christ. Coming to Christ. Remember what Isaiah 64 tells us, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're all as a filthy thing in the sight of a holy God. And all of us tonight have wore particular garments to this church tonight. And I'm not talking about our suits or our dresses. But rather I'm speaking about either you have the garments of righteousness upon you, or else you have come in your filthy garments of self-righteousness. But the good news is that you can go home tonight totally clean with that robe of righteousness upon your back. We think of the words of John 11 and 44 and how Christ called Lazarus forth out of the grave and how he came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. And we have that picture of regeneration and how the old filthy garments are cut loose. They're stripped off us. And we are bestowed with that garment of righteousness. Just like the prodigal son as he comes home to his father. The best robe is put upon his shoulders. He's given a home with the Father. And so too, dear sinner, you that are a beggar, you that are blind, you that are spiritually in poverty, you can go home tonight with the King of Kings. You can be given a place in heaven. You can be given that robe of righteousness. You can be cleansed from your sin. Not only does Bartimaeus leave his garments, but he arose and came to Jesus. And Christ asked him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. That I might receive my sight. And what glorious words Bartimaeus heard. Go your way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Here we see Bartimaeus came to Jesus in faith. And so too, dear sinner, if you are to be saved tonight, you need to come to Christ by faith. Not faith in works, not faith in your self-righteousness, not faith in your morality, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. He had faith. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He believed that he was able to heal him. And dear sinner tonight, it's Christ and Christ alone that can save you from your sin. Oh, won't you be like blind Bartimaeus? Won't you call upon God tonight for mercy? Won't you cry out from where you sit unto the Saviour who's passing by in this meeting and say, thou son of David, have mercy upon a blind beggar like me. Praise God, like Bartimaeus, you will receive your sight, your spiritual sight. You'll be given. The old filthy rags will be taken off you. Those rags of sin. And you'll be given that robe of perfect righteousness. You'll be given a home in glory with the Saviour. Oh, if you come tonight, you will be received. You'll not be turned away. But rather, he will receive you unto himself. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you come tonight? Will you cry out like Bartimaeus and receive your sight? I urge you to do so. In the Saviour's name.